Whoa. C-L-O-V-E-R.
Yeah.
Beautiful. And the numbering of focuses in this dimension?
Numbering of focuses. 3,426.
Wow. And she feels that she is Vold belonging Sumathi aligned.
Correct.
And intermediate emotional.
Correct.
Wow, she got it. And then Alfredo from the forum, he feels he is a leader personality. He's a supporter. Okay. And may I ask, how many focuses do we have together, Alfredo and myself?
A question.
I'm going to say quite a few.
I'd agree.
Like 1,000?
Slightly more.
1,200?
Approximately.
Okay. Wow. That's a lot. Yeah, there's a connection with him, and I just really enjoy interacting with him. And then my new friend Cruz, it's spelled C-R-U-Z, my yoga instructor. May I have her essence name? Beautiful. And the number of focuses in this dimension?
851.
All righty. Is she Milia May belonging?
Yes.
Okay. And Sumari aligned?
Yes.
Soft political?
Correct. Okay.
And myself, would I be a supporter personality?
Yes.
And I was, I have the impression that the ballerina Anna Pavlova may be a focus of mine.
Observing.
And the French painter, Elizabeth Vigée Lebrun, would she be a focus or observing?
Yes.
Focus?
Yes.
Ooh, that is so cool. I'm getting ready to go see her work at the Met, and I've just always been fascinated by that. So would that be my French Revolutionary War focus that people in the Elias group tend to have together?
Yes.
And I was on the other side. And then my dear Kitty Goober, who is 18 or 19 years old, is, you know, getting ready to do that disengaging / emergence thing. And he is just doing kind of strange behavior, and I realize that they don't go through transition, but I would like to know what is he experiencing. He'll just be laying down, like I'll be in the bathtub, and he'll be laying beside me on the floor, and then all of a sudden he'll just get up and start making this, you know, rowling or wailing noise, but he doesn't seem like he's distressed or hurt. And then he'll do that again just in the middle of the night. And is he interacting with other essences like we were talking about before, or is this something different?
It'd be the same.
And what's going on? I mean, why does he jump up and start rowing but come directly at me and try to engage me?
Two reasons. One, is partially, not tremendously, but partially a protective expression, or it is an unfamiliar energy in your space arrangement. Therefore, there is a slight piece that is a protective expression, and more so, it is to gain your attention. In a manner of speaking, it is his expression of, look what's here.
Oh, so when you say protective, protective of me or protective of him? Protective of me. So he's saying, look what's here? So is it a different essence than the ones that you mentioned before that tend to be around me? Patel, Tompkin, yourself, Atticus?
Oh. He is merely paying attention and noticing the strength or the intensity of the presence and is responding to that.
And why is he doing that more now that he's closer to disengaging?
I would say as an expression of engaging you and, in a manner of speaking, encouraging you in being more aware because of the difference in your energy and what you are doing and the direction that you are engaging. Remember, animals engage energy as their first language.
Right.
Before they notice differences in your energy in relation to what direction you are engaging, and therefore, regardless that they may not be generating an assessment about why you are moving in a particular direction, or even what that means to you, they are responsive to what you are doing and what direction you are engaging. And therefore, in that, you are more open. You are engaging other energies. Therefore, in a manner of speaking, it is merely an alert. Look what is here.
Interesting. Interesting.
You are interested in that, and he is responsive to it.
So he's kind of my my objective imagery type flag that I'm more open now to other energies. Okay.
Yes.
Excellent. Yeah, thank you, because I just wanted to make sure he wasn't in pain. That's, of course, you know, the first thing that goes to my mind and trying to fix it or whatever. So, but thank you.
And I would express you have enough experience and enough knowledge to know
the difference
and to know when one of your animals is expressing pain.
You're right. I do.
That is a different type of expression.
I do. Elias, I guess we'll try to just go into the meat of the session now. And regarding my last session, thank you so much. I have been working towards, you know, acceptance and releasing energy. In fact, it's kind of funny because, you know, in yoga classes, I'll start crying now, or going to the chiropractor, I'll cry now. And, you know, before I used to just hold back the emotions, or even in the middle of the night, I wake up and I'm upset, I'll cry. So, yeah, I've been working on that. And once you move past the acceptance and the releasing energy, I've really been delving into this desire and choice. And there was, I'm going to quote something you said in a session, and it says, "This choosing aspect of you knows your direction and is aware of what you are creating and experiencing in the moment and within time frameworks." So I'm just going to read a statement, and I'd like your comment. Every reflection is a choice. Do you agree with that?
Yeah.
Okay, so then in every choice, there is a desire in addition to a want. Is that true? And then I wrote, "And it is because of the veil that we often are not aware of our desire in some of our choices, especially in those that we feel are difficult or traumatic."
I would agree.
Because that's huge. Because that, it seems like, you know, when you're talking about the want being the next step in a reflection, to come to the realization that there is a desire in everything is pretty big.
I would agree. And there is. And it is significant. That is the piece that can alter your perception in how you are looking at any situation or experience. Because if you know that whatever you are doing, that it is linked to your desire, then you can look at the experience, even if it is expressed in a manner that you don't like or that is uncomfortable, you can look at it from the perspective of discovering what it is accomplishing. You don't generally look at experiences that you don't like or that are uncomfortable as being an experience that is accomplishing anything.
Mm-hmm.
You merely assess that you don't like it or that it is uncomfortable, and that is generally as far as you contemplate the subject. You don't generally entertain the idea that there is something being accomplished in this experience.
Yes, and I'd like to work through a few examples, if you would. Okay, when I was a little girl, my father and I were just inseparable. And after we finished doing the horses one day, we went to get something to eat at a restaurant. And right after the meal, of course, I'm getting emotional, he died in front of me of a heart attack. And he was resuscitated and lived a little bit longer, but he was in transition at that point. And you look at something like that, and you go, well, first of all, what's the reflection there? The family was kind of in turmoil at the time over just petty bickering. And was that some type of, for that incident to happen there, was that kind of a reflection of the inner turmoil I was feeling as a child?
Not necessarily. What I would express to you is I acknowledge how that can be a traumatic experience and definitely a considerably emotional experience.
Well, if you don't mind me interrupting you, because I was looking for the want in the situation. I mean, it's easy to say, well, he checked out and left the family, and that's kind of what I wanted to do, at that point. But, in looking at the desire, in retrospect, I look back, and my life changed. My life changed after he passed, in that I did things that he never would have allowed me to do, had he lived. Like I lived in South Africa during apartheid. I did some things that my mother let me do that he wouldn't have let me do. Is that like finding the desire in the gift?
Yes. I would express that the gift was the timing and how it was expressed. Disengage in that moment. Therefore, preventing you from assuming responsibility for that.
Okay.
Secondly, he engaged this action in a time framework in which he had incorporated a time with you.
Yeah.
Concentrating his attention with you. Therefore, giving you that gift of a personal experience at the end, so to speak, or at the end of his life, in which he expressed that importance and value of you. Not in a tremendous dramatic display, but in a genuine manner, in mundane actions. Engaging routine.
Yeah.
But also engaging you in a manner that was focused on you. And therefore, in capacity than words, communicating your importance to you.
Oh, cool.
Therefore, what I would express is that in relation to him, this was a gift. In relation to you and your desire, it was a spark to allow yourself to move in a direction that you would not necessarily have allowed yourself to move in. You expressed that he would not allow you.
Oh, interesting.
Actuality.
Of course.
Have complied, and therefore you would not have allowed you.
Yes, good correction.
Therefore, in that, it is not that your desire included his death, but that you used that as an impetus to motivate you and to give you permission to express some of your desires in the direction that included wants. In that, it is not necessarily always that you are directly creating something that is what you would perceive to be negative or uncomfortable, that is an expression of your desire. But at times, it can be that you use something in your experience that is what you think of as negative or uncomfortable, and you use that in a capacity that allows you to move in the direction of your desire, which would be what that situation was.
Thank you. And then I'd like to bring this back around to what we discussed in our last session on, you know, in this, why did this happen to me? And kind of look, use the same approach that, you know, like I said, I kind of took a passion of mine and turned it into an overwhelm. And I'm just wondering, why was I not successful at that business? You know, and other people could, you know, could be. And, you know, with everything just going to hell, it just had to be part of my desire to get out of it, although I couldn't see it at the time.
Experiences that are uncomfortable or that you don't like, it is very common that you wouldn't necessarily see the connection to your desire at the time, or you are too concentrated on what you don't like and what you don't want and what is uncomfortable. Therefore, you wouldn't necessarily see the connection to your desire at that time. But experience?
Looking back on it, first of all, I'm going to say I can see now all the kind of red flags that I was putting up but ignoring. And putting all, you know, some the energy in that proverbial container behind you. But given that the last couple of years I've just been sitting here and determining my genuine self and my natural flow, I really didn't like the business or the industry. It went against, you know, it was horse racing, and it really, I think, went against my, maybe it's my Millie Mae tendencies of devaluing animals. And they were kind of used up and discarded. And I was constantly worrying about, you know, and being responsible for every horse I bred and put out there. It was completely consuming my life. I was exhausted. And it was because we could never get to the next level. The animals kept breaking down before going to the races, or for whatever reason, you know, my animals never sold well, even though I would be told they were the best looking animal in the sale. But I know now I just don't want to be that responsibility is one of my core truths, and I was always going to feel that way. And I realize now that I really love horses for what each one is inherently in and of itself, and not what, you know, it can do for me as far as producing.
But that has been your genuine expression in relation to any animal,
yeah,
and all animals at your core.
Yeah.
At your lifetime, for it is part of your guidelines. And in that, I would express that, yes, I would acknowledge to you that was definitely a factor in your desire. Your desire has been to be honoring of life, regardless of what form it takes. And in that, I would express that you moved in a direction, you expressed experiences, and you allowed yourself to explore in certain directions with an ideal, and discovered that ideal was not necessarily realistic in relation to your desire, and not necessarily realistic in relation to the avenue that you chose to explore. Therefore, in that, did it give you valuable information? Yes, it did.
Oh, yeah.
Did it influence you to move in a different direction? Yes, it did. Did it influence you to be more aware and to be more honoring of yourself in addition to honoring other lives? Yes. And I would express that was a significant piece. It is easy for you to express compassion and love and honor for creatures of any form. It has not necessarily been as easy for you to express that to you. But there is a genuine desire to hold yourself in equal value and honor as you so naturally do with any creature.
Oh my God. I didn't see that part.
There would be the desire.
Oh my God. I completely missed that part, Elias.
And that is where you continue to move yourself into, motivated by that. But in a very different path and much more objectively aware of it now.
Oh, yeah. Wow. There's another aspect in reading through these sessions now. I'm reading sequentially, like I said, and I'm in 2001, and it's really into this choosing and having trust in what we're choosing, what we were just talking about. And I think sometimes I get confused with determining the difference between choosing based on your inherent desire versus sometimes you'll choose an action based on our beliefs.
And everything, your beliefs. Now, clarify that. An example
yes.
Of what you're thinking.
Yes, okay, I'm going to give a simple example right now is I had joined a gym in the local area and I was constantly getting hurt or injured and having to go to the chiropractor and I just noticed around me that I didn't like the music that was played. Typically, people were echoing each other very heavily in the gym. It's kind of it's in a very wealthy area, and people are more into, I've got to look perfect, otherwise, you know, what will other people think, or people don't, you know, I'm expected to look this way. And something just, I left, and I'm still a member there, but I went and I joined another gym in a town that I like different, that has a different feel to it. And I started taking a different type of class, more of yoga, Pilates, and bar classes, and I just love it, and I just love the people, etc. But, so now I'm a member at two gyms, and every time I go back to the first one, either there's an instructor I don't like, or I hear more echoing, or the music is just horrendous, or something. And before I would say, oh, I'm just not, based on my beliefs and, you know, devaluing myself, I'm just reflecting, and I should be able to take that and reconfigure the energy and walk in and not encounter those things. but then I'm like, when I started reading about your choosing, it's like, but overall, I'm choosing those experiences. So,
and the question would be, why?
Well, my
this example, you have actually a clear example of being comfortable in one direction and in one area and uncomfortable in another, and continuing to go back.
Well, I took it as a reflection, since you say everything is a reflection of you, that if I could reconfigure my energy and be present and stuff, then I wouldn't be creating this objective imagery. Me.
Because what you are doing is you are opposing your preferences, your guidelines, and expressing to yourself that if you are better, you will not be bothered. Where is the lack of acceptance for you? It's not about the outside source. It is the lack of acceptance is being expressed in relation to you. You are not accepting yourself that these are your guidelines and that is acceptable. And in that, you have given yourself a reflection. Remember, reflections are not mirrors. Therefore, in many situations, reflections are presentments to you for you to have the opportunity to evaluate what is natural for you, what do you like and dislike, what do you want and don't want, and to move in a direction of choice. When you are reconfiguring energy, you are not reconfiguring the energy of that outside source. At times, your reconfiguration of the energy can influence that outside source in a capacity that moves more in an amiable direction with you. Not always. I would express that the reconfiguration of the energy is how you reconfigure your energy. And how you do that is based upon what you are paying attention to. And if what you are paying attention to is only the outside source and changing it, then I would express that you are not actually reconfiguring energy. You are merely concentrating on what you don't like. Or, if you are thinking about reconfiguring energy to make yourself not be bothered by something you don't like, you likely won't do that either. You, for your concentration is, and your attention is focused on what you don't want, and what you don't like, and what is uncomfortable. That is not an expression of reconfiguring energy. And thinking does nothing. Thinking about anything does not affect your reality. For thinking is a translating mechanism. It does not create your reality. Therefore, you can think about it continuously, about reconfiguring energy, about changing it, about making it different. And that does not actually generate any actual action in that direction. And forcing yourself to move in directions that are contrary to your guidelines does what? It merely is expressing an oppositional energy with yourself. Mm-hmm. You are fighting with yourself. You are not accepting yourself. And then that, does that change that reflection?
No.
That reality outside of you? No. It does not.
No.
In that, what I would express to you is you were moving in a correct and beneficial direction by realizing and recognizing that this one environment is reflecting something to you. You are correct. It is. It is reflecting to you what you don't like. And giving you the opportunity to choose. That you have choices. That you don't have to engage what you don't like. It is not a matter of you being better and then whatever is in your reality will not bother you. It is a matter of accepting moment.
Wow, got it. Yeah, this is kind of in line with what Mary and I were talking about prior to the session. Is that correct? Okay, because this is something she's working on as well. Okay, I'd like to move on to, I guess I'm asking for some navigation of my present situation, which, you know, we talked about. I flung myself off the hamster wheel and into a very quiet life. And I created a very unique job to where I use all of my experience that I ever had as a veterinarian and with the different disciplines of horses. And I'm probably one of the only people in the world that has the experience, plus the insurance background now. And, I'm like a claims adjuster, but I'm starting to be more like an advisor on some of the more difficult things. And this is something that I feel, quote unquote, should take off. But for whatever reason, my business has just kind of stayed at a certain level. And then so I go, okay, I am choosing this right now. But what I don't know is, am I choosing it because I really don't want to do it? Or have I already put into action what I want from it, but it's a matter of allowing it to come in? Because my other thing is like, well, I need to, do more of the common approach. I need to start sending more emails and making more phone calls, et cetera, which really isn't my natural flow. And the things that have come to me in my life have never been through those means. So can you help me there?
I would express that partially. It is the latter. And I would also express that being expressed, it is partially a matter of timing, meaning not in the capacity that there is a certain timing for something to be successful. No. Timing in relation to what you are ready for. Once again, moving in that direction of the subject of desire.
Right.
In relation to honoring yourself, learning how to honor yourself as much and as easily as you do with your creature. At moving in a direction of your flow and what is natural, what is comfortable, not pushing, and not necessarily growing in a rapid movement as much as it is, I would say, for you personally, more important that you are growing in the increase. conclusion of integrity.
For myself.
What is familiar and what is known and what is encouraged through society is to grow rapidly and to focus on expanding and generating a measure of success by money and numbers. And in that, I would express you are moving in a different direction, that you are moving in the direction of, yes, expanding and allowing what you are doing in that expansion to be reflective of your own expansion personally. And in that, not to compromise and not to move in directions merely because that is the manner in which it should be done. You did that already.
Yes, I did.
In this, I would express what is more important here and what is in alignment with your desire at this point is, yes, to expand, but to do that with integrity.
Well, that makes perfect sense. Because I found when I first started doing this work, I was still letting outside people kind of dictate to me of how it they want it done. And I've kind of stopped that. And when I'm reviewing some of these mortality cases and things, I know I'm making decisions based on my integrity and not necessarily what underwriters want to hear or what agents want to hear. It's based on how I truly feel about the case. And, I can say one thing about kind of blowing your life up and, having nothing is that if you have nothing to lose, you can really stand by your integrity,
I would agree.
And
you can choose what to invest in.
Right.
And that it is not a matter of how quickly you grow, but how you grow.
Absolutely. As you said, been there, done that, and it didn't turn out too good for me.
I would agree.
Yeah, for me.
I would not necessarily agree that it did not turn out too good.
Right.
But I would agree with that it was a painful experience. I would be genuinely applauding of that.
Okay. So just status quo. I just get so frustrated because, you know, I still look around and think, gosh, I just have nothing. Is it even worth it to continue? Because it doesn't seem like it's ever going to come together again. Oh, yeah, I'm going there. I know, this is whining. Just allow me a couple of minutes to whine, you know.
And you can.
Yeah.
But in that, acknowledge what you are feeling. There is that word of acknowledgement.
Yeah.
Acknowledge what you are feeling. Let yourself feel it. And remind yourself that you are building a foundation. And in that, a foundation of any structure is always the longest part.
Oh, beautiful. Beautiful.
Holds all the weight.
Yeah. Oh, beautiful. Well put. Okay. I'm just going to sit and relax into my choice of where I am for right now and just trust. Trust that's where I need to be and just trust and be aware and be present and flow.
I would definitely agree and I would be very encouraging and I would express to you acknowledge yourself and what you feel, and if you want to whine, whine away.
That'll be the topic of this session, whine away.
And do not reproach yourself for doing so.
Okay, Elias, thank you again so much. We'll finish up here. There's a lot to process, and thank you, and much love.
You are very welcome, my dear friend.
These sessions are gems in my life. Just gems.
I greatly be anticipating our next one. I shall be expressing a tremendous encouragement to you in this interim time framework to relax. Remind yourself that you are following your desire. Give yourself credit for your integrity. And remind yourself of building your foundation and the weight that it will bear and therefore the strength that it will need to express. And in addition to that, whine away.
Thank you, Elias.
Till our next meeting, and in wondrous lovingness to you as always, and in
au revoir. Au revoir.